Hi, good evening. Good to see you all here this evening. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 4, and that's where we'll spend our time tonight. I've got this little section of scripture. It's a great scene in the Gospel of Mark that we're going to look at tonight. And we've been looking at the fear of God. You guys know that we've been through it maybe 5 weeks now, and we spent most of our time in the Old Testament looking at the fear of God. It's a main idea in the Old Testament, and that's kind of expected that we see this large, mighty, exalted God that we've been looking at. And most people would say, okay, that's where the fear stays. It stays in the Old Testament. But that's not true. As we turn into the New Testament, we get to see Jesus. And the question I want to ask tonight is, because everybody will say the fear of God's in the Old Testament, it's not in the New. So the question I want to ask is, should we, as we turn to the New Testament, fear Jesus? And I want to turn that around and even ask it more personally. Do you fear Jesus? And again, I'm going to give that description or the definition of fear. It's not to be afraid of, but in awe of. So the question again is, do you fear Jesus? And I hope by the time we get done with just these four or five verses here, by the time we get done, that everybody in here will be able to answer that question, yes, I do fear Jesus. It's not only a main theme of the Old Testament, it is a main theme in the New Testament, that we need to be God-fearing, and that includes fearing the Son of God. So let's read these verses and you'll see what I'm talking about. This is a very familiar story, maybe too familiar. I hope that you look at it tonight and say, oh, I've heard this before, I know it, but that it wouldn't be familiar, but that you would see and feel what the disciples saw and felt in this story. So starting in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4, you know this story, but here's what it says. In verse 35, in the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over into the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose, kind of, and what that phrase would mean is out of nowhere. They didn't see it coming. It wasn't on the weather channel. Out of nowhere, there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he got up, he arose, and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And immediately the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they, and here's a phrase, feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? They were amazed, or in awe, or along with our study, they feared Jesus Christ. And this is the same reaction that we need to have when we see Jesus like this. So let's pray together, and I want us to answer the question, do you fear Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this picture that we get here tonight in your word of who Jesus is. And God, I'm going to say it in the sermon, and I think it's really the main point, is that we've created this little nice Jesus that no one respects and that no one's in awe of. And God, I believe that as we study your word, that we will see that Jesus is to be feared, that we should be in awe of who he is and what he's done and what he can do. So I pray, God, that tonight, through this passage, that you would create a fear in our hearts for the Son of God. Please let me to teach these things well. And we ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The question I want to ask as a start tonight is, if you were to describe Jesus, if we were to go around the room, and there's so few of us here tonight, we could easily go around the room and go one by one and say, you give me one word or one phrase to describe what you think Jesus is like. What do you think you would say? And if we were to ask the world, to poll the world, what would you think they would say? And I know there's all kinds of common answers. I believe that just off the top of your head, and I know you're all thinking of things right now, but off the top of your head, you're likely to hear he's kind, he's loving, he's gracious, he's giving, he's selfless, and he's forgiving, he's loving. And did I mention that the people would say he's loving? Yeah, I believe that would be the number one answer you'd get. Oh, he's loving, and he's accepting, and he's tolerating, and he's welcoming, and he's forgiving, and all these great things about Jesus. And every one of those things are true. He is those things. But do you think you'd ever run across anybody that would say he is to be feared? I don't think you'd get that answer a whole lot if you polled the people in our world today, that Jesus is a man or he is God and he is to be feared. That's not something you hear. And that's a problem, because we have created in our culture and even in churches today a Jesus that is all these nice things. And he is all those nice things. He is very loving and very kind and very gracious and giving. And I'm thankful that he is exceedingly a forgiving God. We've created a Jesus who's all these very nice things. But he's not a God to be feared. That's a problem. No one fears Jesus anymore. No one respects Jesus. No one is in awe of Jesus. Jesus is just a genie that we run to when we're in trouble. We've created this Jesus who isn't what the disciples would say he was. I'd say if you go and ask Peter or any of the disciples, what do you say about Jesus? Well, how would you describe, if you were to give one phrase or one word to describe Jesus, I believe that you would get awe, amazing, to be feared. You say, Josh, I don't agree with you on that. Well, I'm going to prove it to you. I want you to get your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 1. And just follow along with me just for a second as we go through this in the introduction. I'm making a point because Mark is making a point and Peter makes a point and all the disciples make this point. Watch this. Mark 1, verse 21. And it says, and this is Jesus rebuking an unclean spirit or a demon. And it says, and they went into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and he taught. This is him, just his teaching. And they were in awe of his doctrine. For he taught as one that had authority and not as the scribes. He amazed them. They were in awe. Their jaw was dropping just at how he taught. Look down with me, verse 27. Let me just keep going. And there was in a synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Leave us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Demons are in awe of Jesus. They are shaking and trembling and fearful of Jesus. I know that thou art the Holy One of God. They look into the face of Jesus and see perfect holiness. They look into the face of the Son of God, and they're seeing the God of all eternity. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all in awe. They were all amazed. That's Mark chapter 1. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Jesus heals a man with a palsy. And I'm not going to read the whole story. Just look at verse 12. After he healed him, in verse 11, he said, I say unto thee, arise, take up your bed, and go thy way into thine house. And the gang, he got up and he arose immediately. Took up his bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all in awe and glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this before. In awe of Jesus. That's Matthew 2. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 5. I want you to see verse 15. This is Jesus again casting out an unclean spirit. And they come unto Jesus in verse 15. They said, and they see him that was possessed with the devil had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were in awe. They were afraid. Look over with me at verse 33. You say, how far are you going to take this, Josh? I'm going to keep going. Verse 33. After he healed the woman, he said, Who touched me? And looked around about and saw that her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling in awe. Look with me at verse 42. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years, and they were in awe, with great awe. They were astonished with great astonishment. Their jaws were on the floor. That's Matthew 1, that's Mark 1, Mark 2, Mark 4, Mark 5, three times in Mark 5. Look at Mark 7. I'm just going to keep going. I don't have a whole lot of notes to give you tonight, so I'm just going to make you follow along with me in the Bible. Deaf man healed, verse 37, and they were beyond measure astonished. They were in awe. Matthew 8, verse 6, at the Mount of Transfiguration, for he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. They were amazed. Down to verse 15 of chapter, this is chapter 9. And then straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and they run and saluted him. This is everywhere you turn. It's a theme running through the Gospels. I could take you to Matthew. I've just took you through Mark and nine chapters of Mark. It's in Luke. It's in John. You turn to Revelation and the awe just gets bigger and bigger. That Jesus is one that we should be fearing and in awe of and in amazement and astonished with great astonishment. That's how the disciples were describing. And back to Mark 4, our story tonight. It's the same thing. Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly. They were amazed. They were in awe. They were fearing Jesus. And again, that's the whole point. This isn't that they were terrified of what he was going to do to them. They were amazed at the things that he did. They were in awe of him. So that's what I want you to do tonight. I want to read this story. You know it. But I want you to afresh be in awe of who Jesus is. I think that's our problem in our day. There's no fear of God because we don't know who God is anymore. So we need to see him in all of his glory. And this is the Son of God. So let's be in awe of who he is in this. And I've only got 2 points for you tonight. I want to show you first the storm that they were afraid of. The storm that they were afraid of. You see that in verse 35. It says, and on the same day, and I think this is an interesting point. It's been a long day. He started in verse 1 of chapter 4, and he began to teach by the seaside. Long day of teaching, long day of crowds gathering, and he's wore out. This shows his humanity. He needs rest. So it says, in that same day, when the evening was come, all day spent teaching, all day spent around the crowd, and he's saying, okay, now we're going to have to get a rest. So look what they do. He saith unto them, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. Let's get in this ship, small little ship, 15, 20 people, and they pushed off, they launched off, they got away from the crowd. And it says in verse 36, when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was into the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. These are little ships, 15, 20 people in a ship. It's dusk. I want you to picture it. It's dusk. It's the evening. We're transitioning from daytime to dark, and the sun's going down, and it's not bright anymore, but it's not pitch black dark yet. And they're just pushing off into the water on the sea. The wind's blowing because it says they're sailing, because if you're sailing, you got your sail up and it's pushing. They're not rowing. So there's no work being done. They're just kind of sailing across the water. And Jesus, in this nice and calm evening, falls asleep at the back of the ship on a pillow. I believe there's nobody who's ever worked any harder in the entire world than Jesus did. And he is totally exhausted from the day that he's had. He goes into the back of the ship and gets some kind of leather bag that they would have, curls it up under his head, and falls fast asleep. That's his humanity. He's resting. He's sleeping. You can picture that scene. When I was a kid, we used to get in a swimming pool, and we'd keep the pool very calm, and we'd get my little sister or somebody else, and we'd put them on a raft, and we'd just float them around the water real calm, you know, real easy. And that's what this is. They're just kind of floating across the water. The wind is blowing and everything is so calm and so easy. And Jesus just falls off to sleep. We should be amazed at his humanity. That Jesus, the Son of God, truly God, came into our humanity and falls asleep. You see what happens next. I think it's interesting that in verse 36, when they sent him away to the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there's also other little ships with him. And again, picture that calm, serene scene where everything's just going so well, and then out of nowhere, 37 happens. That's how life hits you. Your life can be so peace and calm and easy right now, and you wake up in the morning and it's full-on panic like that. That's what happens to them here. It's just out of nowhere. And there arose. It just they didn't even see it coming. This storm came down. And it says a great storm of wind. This is a mega storm. This is a storm unlike they'd ever seen before. This is a hurricane type storm. Whirlwind. The other passages in Matthew and Luke call it a seismic event. It's like an earthquake shaking. And so you're going to mix a tornado and a hurricane and an earthquake all at one time on this little sea. I mean, this is a big deal. A perfect storm. Extreme weather. They're in the eye of a hurricane. The waves are beating. The rain is falling. The lightning is striking. And the thunder is crashing. This is severe weather alert. I mean, this is out of nowhere. All of a sudden, the peace and the calm and the breeze that's blowing and maybe a little rain all of a sudden becomes a storm to beat all storms. And they were fearful. The boat's filling up. And they're scared to death. This is a real, legitimate fear. There's nothing wrong with having fears. This is something to be feared. Their life is on the line. So they get up and they go where any of us would go. It says in verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they run to him. With all this wind and rain and the waves is filling the ship, I'm sure they tried everything before they go wake up Jesus. I'm sure they're trying to bail water out of the ship. They're trying to row and keep it going. It's going up and it's going down. It's going side to side. And they know if they get thrown off in the middle of a storm like this, there's no way they'll make it. Their life is on the line. And right when they couldn't do anything else, they run to Jesus. These fishermen are out of options. You know you're out of options when a fisherman goes to a carpenter for answers. So they run to the back of the ship and they look at Jesus and they say, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't say, it doesn't give it here, but you can kind of get that in your mind with all, I mean, you can imagine how loud it is with the wind and the waves beating and the waters in the ship and the lightning's crashing and the thunder is shaking everything and the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by mountains, so it's just echoing off of everything and it's just so loud and so scary and they run to Jesus. And I think Matthew says they say Lord, Mark says they say teacher, and then Luke says they say, Master. You say, which one is it? I think it's all that. I think all the disciples run to him and they're throwing it all out there. Master and Lord and teacher, wake up, wake up, wake up. We're scared to death. This is the biggest fear they could ever imagine. We're going to die, they say. Look at that perishing. We're going to perish. Don't you care? That word perish there means we're going to be destroyed. We're not going to survive this. Fishermen know storms better than anybody else. They've been in storms. And they see this storm and they say, we're going to die in this storm. What do they think Jesus is going to do? I don't know. But they run to him and say, we need you to do something. We've seen you do amazing things. Can you handle this? It's a crazy scene, and Jesus wakes up. They're scared to death. This is a big fear. Maybe the biggest fear. Death. First it was a storm, now we're about to die. No greater fear in all the world. And it's always, and we've seen it in Isaiah 6, we saw it in Exodus 33, always, right while we're facing our biggest fear, God shows himself even bigger to us. That's why we live in a world full of people scared to death, because we don't know how big God is. Amen. So they run to Jesus right when they need to see him at his most mighty. And that's where we get point number two. Not the storm they're afraid of, but the Savior they are in awe of. So he gets up in verse 39. It says, and he arose. You'd think he'd be groggy. I don't know how you guys are when you wake up, but when I wake up, it takes me a good 5-10 minutes just to get my eyes open and to see what. I had one of the kids run and wake me up the other night. Just dad, dad, dad. And I wake up, what? What's going on? You know, I don't have any idea. Who said that? Jesus didn't wake up groggy. He wakes up immediately to the response. There's not a drop of panic in Jesus when they wake him up. There's never a drop of panic ever in Jesus. Amen. Get this, in heaven right now, there's not a drop of panic in heaven. The only thing you have in heaven isn't panic, it's plans. With all this going on with the Ukraine and Russia, God's not up in heaven wringing his hand in a panic. He has plans, not panic. With all that happened with COVID and things that are happening in our nation or in Canada, all around the world, things are falling into turmoil and chaos, but our God has plans in heaven. Amen. Jesus wakes up. That's what he does. Immediate response to their cry. They were praying, he was answering. He gets up. And immediately, I mean, there's no theatrics. I mean, if it was me, I would have stood at the top of the ship. And I would have got ready, you know. Watch this, guys, you know. Let's do it. Abracadabra, you know. Jesus doesn't do any kind of theatrics. There's no performance. There's no effort. He just gets up and rebukes. That's all it says. He rebukes. He speaks to the storm like I would speak to a mean child. One of my kids get out of line, I rebuke them. Hey, stop that, you know. Don't do that. Quit pulling your sister's hair. That's what Jesus does to the wind and the rain. Peace be still. I do this to my kids all the time driving down the road. Quiet back there. That's what Jesus does to the wind. The wind responds to the words of Jesus. He rebukes it. Again, in the storm, obeyed him. Immediately, he rebuked the wind and it calmed the sea. And immediately the wind ceased, which is a big deal. You got the wind blowing and all of a sudden it's just calm. But what's even bigger deal is that the waves were calm. You would think it would take the waves forever to calm down. Waves beating back and forth. It takes time. But as soon as he said calm, the wind stopped and there was perfect calm with the waves. Immediately, the wind stopped, the waves were calm, millions of horsepower of water stops immediately. This shows that Jesus is Lord over creation. Amen. That he brought them into this, he knew how long they'd be in this, and he stopped it exactly when he wanted to stop it. He created it, he controls it, he sustains it, he will utterly destroy creation one day, and then he will recreate it again. We have no control over the weather. Amen. They try to tell us all the time that we're going to stop this global warming or climate change or whatever they want to say. The earth will last as long as God says it'll last. Amen. We have absolutely zero control over the weather. Amen. Jesus controls the weather. So the winds and the rain recognize the voice of their Creator. And he looks at him, he says, why are you so scared? You see that? I got to get going. But he says in verse 40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You say, what should they have faith in? He said they're going to get to the other side, didn't he? They should have trusted his words. Jesus promised to get them to the other side. He didn't promise them that it'd be an easy trip to the other side. But in the very first verse, he said, let's go to the other side. And as long as Jesus is in the ship, and as long as Jesus is calm, as long as Jesus is sleeping, everything's going to be all right. We should match whatever Jesus is. If Jesus is calm, his people should be calm. If Jesus is angry, we should be angry. So he got them to the other side. He said, why are you guys so scared? And they look at him, and here's the main point of the whole sermon, and it took me 30 minutes to get there. And because of all that he's done there, rebuking the wind, calming the sea, and they feared exceedingly. They were amazed and in awe. I tell you, we're too familiar with this that we don't look at it and say, wow, unbelievable. Their fear now changes. Their fear was of a storm. And that's a legitimate fear. Their fear was of dying. Legitimate fear. But now their fear changes to where it's aimed at not the storm and not at death, but it's at Jesus. Amen. You say, what's more scary than a storm like that that could kill them? And I say, what's more fearful? What should you be more scared of and in awe of? A storm outside the ship or God in the ship? Because that's the realization they had here. They said, what kind of man is this? That the winds respond to his words. And this is a question that they know the answer to. This isn't a normal man. This is God in the ship.
Amen.
And that's what caused them to fear exceedingly. To be overwhelmingly amazed at him. Who else can control the sea and the winds like this? They're amazed. They're in awe at the power of the Son of God. So they feared. And this wasn't a fear. I got to make sure I explain this. This wasn't a fear that made them, because it doesn't say that. Verse 1 of chapter 5. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. They didn't jump out of the ship. They wasn't running from Jesus. This wasn't a fear that made them run from Jesus. This wasn't a fear that said, we can't be nowhere near this man. He's scary. He's going to hurt us. He's going to do something mean to us. This was a fear not that was afraid, but that was in awe. This wasn't a fear that jumps in the water and swims to the other side. I need to be as far away from him as I can. This was an awe that's saying, I need to be closer to him. As long as I'm close to him, everything's going to be okay. That's what this is. This is, I can trust him. This is, I can believe in him. This is, I can delight in him. That the closer I am to him, the better it'll be for me. Amen. He'll always get me through the storm. I'm in awe of him and want to be near him. I'm not swimming away from him. This is a fear that sees who he is, what he can do, the power that he possesses. And yes, that can be scary. But it's not when he's on your side.
Amen.
I'll explain it this way. I pull up to my house and I look into my door every single day I come home. Today it happened and I thought this is perfect. I planned it in the sermon. And sitting in my door, glass door, beautiful glass door in my house, and looking out of my door is the biggest, baddest German Shepherd you'll ever find. Ears up, muscular body, barking, you know, ready to attack anything that's coming. UPS man comes and he's throwing packages at us. You know, I'm not coming near that dog. But I can go near that dog. I know that dog is fierce. One of y'all come to my house, I might grab a hold of your leg and not let go. There's power in that dog. It's scary. It might hurt me. Why am I not running from that dog, but I'm running to that dog to pet that dog and love that dog? Because I know that dog's on my side. And I know that dog loves me. I know that dog would never hurt me. I know that dog will protect me from anything that's trying to hurt me. I know that dog's on my side. And now, get this. This is what Moses knew. This is what Isaiah and Isaiah 6 knew. This is what the disciples are learning, and they're not there yet. That this mighty Son of God, with great power and might that they are now in awe of, that many would run from and say, he's scary, he could curse me or do something bad to me. They're now saying, yeah, he's big. Yeah, he's powerful. Yeah, he's strong. Yeah, he controls demons and storms and death and sickness and anything and everything else. But he's on my side. And he cares for me. And he loves me. And he protects me. The one who controls the storm cares for me. The one who can raise the dead cares for me. The one who cures sickness cares for me. The one who could do anything he wants to do. The Son of God is on my side. And I can face anything with a God like this on my side. So I'm not running from him. I'm running to him. Because that's what fear does. No matter what we face in life, He's bigger than the fear. He's bigger than what we're afraid of.
Amen.
God's on the boat, and God's taking care of me. So we can both tremble and rejoice. So how would you describe Jesus? And I'll close. He's scary. That's a little bit scary. He's powerful. Yeah, what power. He's amazing. He's wonderful. He's absolutely trustworthy. And He's greater than all my fears. Whatever it is that comes at us. He's all that and more. He's a God to be feared. And I hope tonight that you look at it and say, I'm amazed at that Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this picture we get of Jesus tonight. And there's so many more. I wish I could have hit every single one of them. And we have before, but just going through them this week and hitting every one of these stories and saying, wow, 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 wow. That Jesus loves me. That Jesus died for me. It left me in awe, and I hope and I pray that it would leave our people in awe. I know this is a very familiar story, but I pray there's someone here tonight that needed to hear this. And that they would, maybe they're in a storm of their own life, and they're scared to death. Let them know that they have a Savior to be in awe of, that they can run to and He'd answer at any time. I thank You for these pictures that You give us. And God, even tonight, we are in awe of Your Son. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.